Rhonda. All right, y'all, we're gonna have a good time today. We're in week two in this study entitled Heartbeats. Now, Heartbeats, the whole thing for several weeks is about the life of David. And today I'll be in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel in chapter 16. Now, what's going on is last week, Pastor Brett had a story, and he told us about this, about Saul. Now, Saul is the first king of Israel. Israel, the people, wanted a king. They didn't want to trust the prophets or God anymore. They wanted a king that they could see and touch. And so what they did is they selected a king. His name is Saul. And Saul was truly a guy that looked like he should be a king. I mean, he walked like a king, talked like a king. I mean, if he was a duck, he'd been a duck, right? But this guy looked like he was presidential, right? He looked kingly. And they put him in this role. The problem is Saul, just not a very good guy. He's an egomaniac. I mean, he's just not a very good leader. But this guy is all about him. Sound familiar? And so he's just literally out there trying to make everything work for his way, just for him. And so this is what it's all about. And so Pastor Brett last week unpacked that what we needed instead of a man like Saul was a man after God's own heart, which is defined as David. And that's David is the story that we're going to learn about. Yes, he's the same guy that killed Goliath, same David, right? But this is before that happened. So Pastor Brett last week said there were three characteristics that would define the difference in whether you're a Saul or whether you're a David. And those three characteristics was that if you were to be a man or a woman after God's own heart, you would learn to trust the Lord, you would learn to obey the Lord, and you would learn the joy of worshiping the Lord. And he unpacked that truth for us. And out of that truth, we get to this week's story in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, the story that's happening here, you have to kind of put all the players together. So in the Old Testament, this is before Jesus has died, of course. This is before Jesus has come on the scene in bodily form. And so this is before what we know the veil has been torn, because that veil is a representation that we needed an intermediary between us and God. And in that intermediary, God used prophets, and those prophets would take his word and deliver it to the people. Are you with me? And so the prophet is Samuel. And God tells Samuel, I'm done with Saul because Saul will not obey me. He will not trust me. He will not worship me. And so as a result, God says to Samuel, I want you to go anoint my new king for Israel. I'm going to take my hand off of Saul and place my hand on a new king. Are you with me? Here's the background. So this is where we're at in this study, and listen to what happens. Now the Lord said to Samuel in verse 1, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. Now, right out of the gate, what does God say? He says to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him. Now, why is that an important phrase? I want you to get this, right? Because God has said to Samuel, Samuel, you're hanging on to the past. You're comfortable in the fact that he's a king, and you're afraid that if I take my hand and anointing off of him and put it on someone else, that you're going to be the guy in problems, and it's going to cause change. Now, some of you handle change super well. Like, I wake up every morning thinking, what can I change today? Bobby wakes up every morning thinking, how can I keep Chuck from changing something today? Right? I mean, that's just kind of how this works. Some of us handle change really well. Some of us work our way through change, right? Well, Samuel clearly is like, but Lord, do we have to do it this way? I mean, here's a good lesson for the church, that we can't keep doing church the way we did in 1967 if you're going to reach 17-year-olds in 2023. You can't get married to how you do it. You got to get married to why and whom you do it for. You see, when we're married to anything other than the reason, which is Jesus, we're married to the wrong thing. And God is clarifying to Samuel, don't get hung up on how things are. I need you to see that my future is better for you, because God is still in the redemption business. God wants to redeem your present and your past to use you in the future. God is not so concerned with your past that he doesn't have a bright future for you. With me? I was praying. Remember a week or two ago, we prayed for a family whose son has been lost. He still is. But that family I was praying with between services, and I reminded them, God is still in the redemption business. He will someday take this story and use it for your son's good and for your good and for his glory, because God's glory and your good are always hand in hand when you walk with him. And so we're looking at Samuel learning this lesson. He says, I have rejected him as king of Israel, so fill your flask with olive oil. Now, I've got some oil here that I brought back from the Holy Land. There's nothing special about the oil. It's just oil. But there's a purpose in why God says, fill your flask with oil. He wants to do this because he's going to anoint the new king. Now, watch this. Many of us don't know this concept of anointing. We hear it, but it's a foreign concept. We're going to learn a little bit about anointing. But so that you get the concept of the story, if this right here is where you're living and it's a position of I'm kind of a part of the world, I'm not really walking with God, I'm not really seeking God, I'm not trying to be godly, I'm not trying to wear his righteousness, then when you're living in the world, then God says, I'm going to call you out and you're going to leave that space. And you're going to enter into my space, and in this space, I'm going to anoint you, which is a covering, but it's a calling out from the world into the walk with God. Are you with me? And so in this process, this is what Samuel is preparing to do because God has instructed him to. In verse 2, but Samuel said, how can I do that? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And then the Lord says, take a heifer with you. The Lord replied, and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. I invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show you which of his sons to anoint for me. Now, you might be saying, okay, I don't get that. Well, think of it this way. Imagine that what God is telling Samuel to do is go have this private worship service, and in this private worship service, you're going to honor me and glorify me, and you're going to invite Jesse and his sons to be a part of this. Now, Jesse is the father of 8 boys, the oldest being Eliab, the youngest being David. And so God says to Samuel, go get these guys and have a private worship service. So imagine they've come together for one purpose, to worship the Lord. So what do we know about Jesse? We know that Jesse loves the Lord. We know that Jesse's going to come to worship the Lord. We know that Jesse's going to bring his boys to be a part of it. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed when he arrived at Bethlehem. And yes, that's the same place where Jesus was born. In these fields that we go to when we go to the Holy Land, you literally have an anointing service in those fields. And the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. What is wrong, they asked. Do you come in peace? Now, this is a picture. I want you to know this is how the world reacts. Over in this space in the world, when you start worshiping the Lord, when you start honoring God, when you start separating yourself from the Lord, from the world, to walk with the Lord, the world's going to say, what is wrong with you? I mean, you're just crazy. You've lost it. You are just gone off the deep end. But all that time, you're literally just living the anointing. Stay with me here, all right? So as this happens, yes, Samuel replied, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. And when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab, he's the oldest, and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Well, why would you think that? He dressed the part, walked the part, talked the part, looked the part, just like Saul. I fear just the way that we elect officials. They walk the part, they sound the part, they do the part, but we don't take a look at the fruits of the Spirit alive in their soul and in their walk, but we don't see the fruit they leave behind. We just pay attention to the jabber they throw out. And we look at that and you wonder, how is the world in such a whacked out space? It is because we don't have leaders after God's own heart. And you say, well Chuck, are you talking about Biden or Trump or who are you talking about? I'm talking about in general. I'm talking about daddies and homes. I'm talking about mayors and cities. I'm talking about business leaders and realtors and judges and attorneys. I'm talking about car salesmen. If we look to change the world, we've got to separate ourselves from it to the degree that we can live this anointed, covered life. So Samuel says, this is what I've come to do, and he prepares them. But listen to this. Eliab and Samuel think, surely that's the guy. I mean, surely that's the Lord's anointing. He looks the part. I mean, come on. He looks the part. He looks sharp. But the Lord said to Samuel, Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab, step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah. But Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. And in the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Now, remember, I said Jesse has eight sons, but only seven of them are there. The last one is David, who's out in the field tending to sheep and goats. Now, let me just stop and say, in a list of eight brothers, if you're the one that hasn't been invited to the special service and you're with sheep and goats, does it go to say that not only are you the youngest, you may not be the sharpest? Because clearly, Dad has said, boy, you just stay with the sheep and goats. Now, there's two things we know about sheep and goats. One, they stink. And two, they're stupid. But he said, you go hang out with them because that's your place in life. You're just the normal kid. Just hang out with them. Smell like them. Walk with them. You take care of sheep business. But Samuel says, is anybody else around? He says, are these all the sons you have? Jesse replied, they're still the youngest, but he's out in the field watching the sheep and goats. Like, sure, this guy doesn't look like king material. He's just a kid. I mean, come on. He's a good-looking kid, but he's nothing special. I mean, truly, I mean, he got learning challenges. Kid's probably ADHD. I mean, he's dyslexic. I mean, you know, I mean, come on. This kid is not Samuel, really. He's a sheep kind of guy. Samuel, though, goes on and says, send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one. Anoint him. So as David stood there among brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And then Samuel returned to Ramah. Now, you say, well, Chuck, I don't really know that I understand. Well, first, I want you to recognize that God did two things with Samuel. He reminded Samuel that he needed to accept God's judgment of Saul. What does that say to me and you? We need to be aware of the judgment that we have earned from God by not following him. Because there's no such thing as life without that judgment. But there is a way to move past that because God pointed Samuel to the days ahead by involving him in anointing a king that would succeed Saul and make everything better. He went through all seven, but all seven didn't meet the category. What we know is this: David was an extraordinarily ordinary kid. Because God chooses ordinary people. God chooses ordinary people. Throughout all of history, God always chose ordinary people. People like you, people like me. God chooses ordinary people. You say, well, Chuck, no, but how do you explain that? Well, here's the life lesson that I hope you'll get today. You can love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul and be radically ordinary. You can love God. You don't have to be super. You can be normal. You see, I think oftentimes we believe that when God sets us aside and calls us to himself and we walk this God life, we think all of a sudden we're going to change our behavior and walk the part and look the part, but our heart never changes because we're so busy trying to act Christianly that we don't allow God to grow us up Christianly. And listen, God is not concerned about your actions. He's concerned about your heart because your actions will follow your heart. God always gets it in the right order. We never do because we're too busy trying to make sure people see us and know us. Like, here's a wonderful thing. God emphasized a shepherd, not a king. God took great pride in a young boy in the middle of a field with sheep and goats rather than choosing the person that looked like a king. God chose to say, I'm going to take the ordinary, I'm going to do an amazing thing through that ordinary kid. From a human perspective, the choice of the least likely person is a theme that we don't understand, but it is found throughout Scripture. Everywhere you turn, we find that God chooses the most unusual of people. What do we know about this? When Samuel sees David and God says to Samuel, that's the one, what happened? According to verse 13, the Spirit of the Lord came upon that came upon David from that day forward. God anoints for a lot of reasons, but predominantly to prepare, empower, and protect. To prepare, to empower, and protect. Now, the way this works is this. Here you are in the world, and God calls you out of the world. And when you choose his following, you choose to follow him with your heart, he anoints you. Now, watch this. Anointing with oil is a picture of the Spirit of God. This oil right here is a picture of the Spirit of God. All through Scripture, oil is a picture of God's power through his Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. He's your best friend, right? The Spirit of God is a picture of this oil. So when David is anointed, what literally is happening is Samuel is taking that flask of oil and pouring it over his head and praying God's blessings over him. Now watch this. In that anointing, the picture of the Spirit of God, again, nothing special or magical about the oil. It's a picture, just like baptism is. But that anointing is a picture of God's blessing, God's empowerment, God's protection. But watch this. It is like a dome, a covering that will guard you and go wherever you go. It's not like an umbrella that gets torn up in a hailstorm. It is like a shield that guards you from bombs. And wherever you go, it goes. Now, the picture of anointing is so abnormal to this world. It's just unusual. So I did this at 9:15, and I scared some people to death. But let me go ahead and scare you to death while I'm at it and ask you to join me in this effort, all right? Hey, Valerie, would you come up here? She has no idea I'm doing this. It's probably a bad idea. But I want to present a picture to you of what an anointing would look like. Hey, Val, come on up. Just my friend Valerie. And Val, you understand the picture of this because you're a prayer warrior. So what a person would do is, I'm not going to pour it over your head because your hair and you would not like that, but they would take this oil and literally this prophet would work this oil and they would do something of this nature. May the Lord give you wisdom and direction. May we bring you peace and protection. May he give you power and glory and honor as you follow and walk with the Lord. And may you honor him in all your ways. And may this be a guard and protection in your life to remind you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, and amen. And that oil in that time was meant there because there was a reminder on that prophet of the goodness of God that he had shared with the goodness of that person that had been called out. And in that anointing, the oil wasn't the work. It was the reminder of the presence of God that had fallen on that person. Had weaved its way into her soul, into her heart, into her life. And now stepping away from that world into the blessed walk of the anointing in Jesus, the work now became, but I can trust you because I am empowered and I am protected because the presence of God has overwhelmed my soul. Are you with me? Thank you, Val. So in this, what I want you to know, this anointing, this oil, the beauty in this is that it's not the oil, it's the presence of God. It is the goodness of God. You see, what we'll find in the coming weeks is that David was able to do all things, not because of who David was. David didn't kill a bear with his bare hands because he was awesome. David didn't kill a lion with bare hands because it was awesome. David didn't slay Goliath because he was awesome. David didn't become a king after God's own heart because he was awesome. David was awesome because of one thing, because of the presence and the power of God. You see, the challenge is we're so busy building our own personal platform that the world might notice us that we've stopped to let God build something in our life that might be overwhelmingly awesome and we miss it. We miss it because we're so busy building our platform, trying to point out our work. Like if I had been David and I killed the bear, I'd be on Instagram like, "Baby, look what I did." If I'd killed the lion, what would it be? Facebook, lion killer, right? I mean, I would have a website, lionkiller.com. You know what? I'd be selling books and I'd be all about it. I mean, if I killed Goliath, I would have made a movie called, you know, what was that called? Facing the Giants. I'd have made a movie. Because I promise you, in our humanity, we want to make it all about us. But the anointing says, I'm going to call you away from that mindset and I'm going to put you into this righteousness that isn't about your behavior. It is about your heart. It isn't about whether you do good or act good or walk good. It's about your heart. It's about, will you trust God with your heart, which is everything from top to bottom? I'll never forget being at camp a few weeks ago and we're talking about the power of God and the presence of God. And we're talking about what happens when God takes over in your life. And I got to that point where I looked at these kids and I said, but you know, here's the thing. God's not done with you. He has an amazing future for you. I'm looking at half of these kids that don't go to church anywhere. And they're just looking at me with eyes big as saucer thinking, God doesn't even know me. God doesn't care about me. I don't have a daddy at home. I don't have a mama at home. I am couch surfing across friends. How in the world does God care about me? But watch this. God wants to call that kid away from that world and redeem every one of those days into his glorious future for them, that he might anoint them and cover them and protect them and empower them, that they might walk in the fullness and the righteousness and the goodness of God. And that's what he wants to do with you. You see, here at Sugar Hill, the reason I get so incredibly excited about this is we desire for every human we come in contact with to learn to know God and then to experience the power of knowing what his presence and purpose is in their life. I mean, that's an amazing calling to be a part of that. You are a part of that calling. Here's how we see that. Jesus first calls us just like Samuel called David out of the field. Send him to me. I want to be present with him. Jesus, the scripture says, is knocking on the door of your heart right now. You say, Chuck, I don't feel that. Well, I promise you, that's not because he's not doing it. It's because you're not listening. Because Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. You say, well, Chuck, I'm already a Christian. He's still knocking because there's more of your heart he wants. But if you've never trusted Jesus with your life, he's knocking on your door. When we choose to say, I'm all in, we call that salvation. Now, this is what happened in my life. I was a young man and I heard this ball player say, all you got to do is ask Jesus to forgive you. All you've got to do is claim Jesus died for me, was buried for me, rose from the dead for me, and I want to live for him. And if you mean that, then Jesus will call you out of that world into his righteousness and glory. He'll change your heart. He will give you, watch this, the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God will dwell within you. And as he does that, you will grow to know him more. And we call that sanctification. Some of you call it discipleship. You know what that means, though? That means that sometimes you're going to take two steps toward Jesus one day, and you're going to take one step backward the next day. Because we are imperfect people who are going to mess this up. I am the king of messing up my growth. And you know how you mess up your growth? You stop obeying, you stop trusting, you stop praising. And you start believing, I can do it on my own. That's what happened to Saul. Saul decided, I can do it all on my own. And God said, I'm done with you. And I'm going to take this man after God's own heart. And he calls David out, anoints him, and he enjoys the presence of salvation and sanctification. Now watch this. Then Jesus calls each of us to eternal life, and we call that glorification. You see, at 63, I'm closer to death than I've ever been in my life. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I trust it's a long time, but I'll promise you I'm closer today than I've ever been. But what I do know is this, because I stood there in Warwick, Rhode Island, and that ball player said, do you want to trust Jesus? Yes, sir. Do you want to ask him to forgive you your sins? Yes, sir. Do you believe he died for you and rose from the dead for you? Yes, sir. Do you want to trust him with your life? Yes, sir. And when I prayed that, I meant that God pulled me out, anointed me, covered me, empowered me, protected me. I never wanted to be a preacher. I still don't like him, but here I am proclaiming the news of Jesus the Lord because of his goodness, his protection, his empowerment, his covering, and all the things that come with salvation and sanctification. And someday when I die and my breath stops and my heart has stopped beating, in a moment's notice, I'm going to step onto streets of gold. I'm going to be amazed at what's there. I'm going to see my dad. I'm going to see my granddad. I'm going to see my mom. I'm going to see all those folks that have gone before me. And I believe there's going to be hundreds of people that have come through here that are going to beat me there, that are going to step on the streets of gold and say, I'm here because God called you. And listen to me, friend, God's calling you right now. And the question is, are you going to answer his call? The question is, are you going to answer his call? Because some of us are so captivated right here in the world, we're missing the fact that Jesus is saying, I got a plan for you, let's go. I want to do something with you, let's go. There are men and women in this room right now that you know that you know that you know God has called you to be a part of some type of mission or ministry, and you're like, no, not me. I just don't know the Bible well enough. Okay, two things. One, that's lazy. And two, that's silly. Do you think David knew anything about being a king? He hung out with sheep. God picked him up, anointed him, called him, patted him on the backside and said, go on. Because it's not about his ability, it's about his availability to open his heart and let the Spirit of God overwhelm him with his power. And the question for you is, what are you going to do about it? Back to camp, there I am. And I'm with a room full of middle schoolers. And I said, I promise you that Jesus wants you to knock on the door of your heart right now. The question is, are you going to hear it and answer it? Do you want Jesus to forgive you? Do you want to claim before all these people in here tonight that he died for you and he rose from the dead for you and you want him to be your Savior? And I really did. I thought one or two kids, because I see kids crying across the room, and I thought maybe one or two of those kids are going to say yes. And I couldn't believe it. I said, if you mean business with Jesus and you want to trust Jesus today, just stand up. And I mean, half the room stood up and I was blown away. And I said, I don't want to make this easy on you because some of you just stood up because you're emotional and you're tired. And I said, if that's the story, just sit down. It's no big deal. Not one soul sat down. And I said, but I still don't want to make it easy. I want to make this hard on you. And I don't want you to just claim my prayer. I want you to say it out loud. I want you to say it loud. I mean, I promise you, you leaders over there, you witnessed it. And those kids are saying, Jesus, will you forgive me my sin? I believe you died for me and rose from dead for me. I want you to be my Lord and I want to walk with you. Would you give me eternal life? And those guys prayed it out loud and I said, I want to make it one more time. If you really mean it, come up forward. They walked up forward. It's like old school, man. And we're just praying over these kids and I thought, it's unbelievable. About an hour and a half later, we got high schoolers in there. I did the same thing. I thought, wow, this is going to bomb. I mean, let's face it, I'm way too old to be a youth preacher. And so I'm just telling them the same story I'm telling you. And so I'd ask them, you want Jesus in your life? You want to claim Jesus? You want his anointing, you want his empowerment, you want his protection, you want all that Jesus has for you, just stand up. Half the room stood up. I watched this one row of girls and I thought, there's no possible way they're going to respond to the gospel. And there they were, up and ready to ask Jesus into their life. And I thought to myself, my stars, the whole world, Jesus wants to knock on the door of their heart and call them out of that space into his glorious walk where he empowers and he protects because he wants to anoint and cover you in the goodness of God. And you say, Chuck, I want that. I need that. Hey, daddies, granddaddies, just look right here. Daddies and granddaddies, just for a minute, look right here. We can fuss about the world all we want to. You want to change your world, daddy, granddaddy? Get on your knees with your kids and let them see Jesus at work in your life. You don't change your marriage, pray with your wife tonight. You don't change the spiritual temperature of your business, pray over it. You want to make your community better, stop fussing about it and start praying for it, start living for Jesus. let the calling of God knock on the door of your heart and set you out of the world and onto the glorious path of being empowered and protected through the just the beautiful anointing of Jesus. You say, well, Chuck, I just don't know if I can do that. Well, sure you can. Well, yeah, but Chuck, that's for special people. I mean, that's for people like you or like Mao or like Bobby or Rhonda. That's for y'all. No, it's not. No, it's not. The scripture is so clear. It's for you too. That God is knocking on your door and calling you, asking you, whether you're a realtor or an attorney, it doesn't matter whether you're a housewife, whether you're a home husband, whether it doesn't matter what you do. God is calling you. He wants you to be a part of this. He wants to anoint you. He wants to cover you. He wants to give you all this. I mean, can you imagine what Mother Teresa thought? You want me to go where? You want me to do what? I mean, can you imagine what a young Billy Graham, can you imagine that he would imagine the millions of people that came to faith in Christ because of one man's obedience? Can you imagine Martin Luther King Jr. imagining that he helped change the world? You think he saw that before? I mean, it wasn't like he was a little boy and had a dream. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was a terrorist. I mean, Peter was a knuckleheaded fisherman. I wouldn't call me. Not in a million years. I'm the last person on earth I would call and say, hey, why don't you preach the gospel of Jesus? I mean, there's never been a bigger knucklehead than me. Yet here I am proclaiming to a house full of people and people watching online the fact that I've never gotten over Jesus. I'm never going to get over Jesus. I can't get past the fact that this Jesus is calling us to be a part of something great that he's going to do through us. Mother Teresa wasn't great. The presence of Christ in Mother Teresa was great. Billy Graham wasn't great. The presence of Jesus was great in Billy Graham. And you may not be great. You may be extraordinarily normal. And the presence of Jesus wants to do something great in you, through you, for you, and around you. Why would you ever want to miss out on that? You say, okay, Chuck, I'm in. You got me. All right, well, watch this. To step out of this world and into the anointing of Jesus the Lord, you simply call on the name of the Lord and believe that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead for you and ask him to take control of your heart. And when he does, this Spirit fills your soul and will empower and protect you to walk in the glorious light of Jesus the Lord. That is what that anointing looks like. And it's all for you. The story of David is all about what's for you. How God shows up in your life like he showed up in this life. So maybe right now is your time, like those students, to say, I'm all in. Let's pray. As you're praying, I want to ask you, would you just do a little search in your own heart? Is God calling you, knocking on the door of your heart, say, I want you to trust me with your life? And if so, I want to tell you the same story I did with those kids. That you can have all of Jesus you want when you say, Jesus, will you forgive me of my sin? Jesus, I believe you died for me to take that sin away and shed your blood for me. Jesus, I believe you rose from that grave and you beat death and you beat Satan for me. And I thank you for that. Jesus, I want you to take over my heart and anoint me. Empower me, protect me, cover me. My friend, if that's your prayer today, I'm going to go back through it one more time and I want you to pray it with me. Jesus, will you forgive me my sin? Jesus, I believe you died for me and through the shedding of your blood, you paid for my sin. Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead and conquered Satan and death for me. I want you to come live inside of me and consume my heart. I want you to anoint me and empower me and protect me as I walk with you. Friend, as you sit there, and if that was your prayer today, 7 people in the last hour said that was me. If that's the desire of your heart today, just raise your hand right where you're at. Just raise it high so I can see you. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. 6 more people said yes to Jesus today. I praise God for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, I pray these daddies and granddaddies would step into your glorious light and let that be seen as they enter into their kids and their grandkids' life. God, I pray we'd be a joyful part of seeing men's men, rugged men, harsh men, hard men, step into the believing walk of the glorious light of Jesus the Lord. We grab hold of all that you have for them, and we see the world change through the power of the Spirit of God through men's lives and women's lives in this room and online. I pray in our students' lives, we'd see young men and young women called into the ministry, into the missions, called to ministry in their field of work. They'd run to the arts, they'd run to everywhere with the power of Jesus all over them. Let us be a people that would celebrate you this Father's Day. In the name of Jesus the Lord, we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's worship before we go.
Never fail.
Yeah.
Never fail.
Yeah. I believe that.
Christ is my firm foundation. The rock on which I stand, everything around me shaking. I've never been more glad to put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he?
That, don't you? I believe the Lord Jesus desires to go before you and make a way and make your crooked path straight, because that's what he does. I believe he wants to go within you and bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, because he is always good and you are always loved. And when life gets weird, because man, it does, doesn't it? When life gets difficult, I believe he desires to come along behind you and pick you up and carry you. And he's not going to walk you around the mess. He's going to walk you right through the stinking middle of it, only to set you down victoriously on your 2 feet and wipe away your tears and kiss you on the forehead and wrap his loving arms around you so that you can hear and see your Savior say to you, my child. I love that. My child. Say it with me, church. I love you. Whew. Come on, y'all. That's good stuff. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. Go in peace.